to practice in the kitchens,
and with an ability to dabble within these halachos, just to know the red lights and green lights of all these different shilas, both encompassing Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus. Check as they walk in. We need to understand the fundamentals of what creates cooking. Not only for the world of Hilchos Shabbos, but also for the world of Hilchos Kashrus. We have to understand one of the most fundamental principles in Hilchos Kashrus and Hilchos Bishul in Shabbos is that you need some sort of heat source in order for any shaila to come up. If you have milchiks and fleishiks, if you have milk and meat, and there's just cold, and there's no heat source medium, so that will totally transform any shaila that you're going to have in Hilchos Kashrus. Again, Rabosai, you always want to clarify, that's not 100% true, there are exceptions to the rule. Hopefully down the road, I hope by the end, with the exception of a davar charif, of an onion, and a knife. What, there are some exceptions, also with the halach of kavash kamavushal, things are soaking. But for the most of the time, in majority of the shilas, all else being equal, in order to create treif, and in order to violate and to be mechal Shabbos, you need some sort of heat source, and something that's considered bishul. We know the Torah in this week's parasha. We learned for a while, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the sugya of Lo Sevashel Gdi V'Chalev Imo. So the Torah says the Yisr of Basar V'Chalev is only a function of Bishul. We had a whole Chakira, what about Tigun, what about frying, is that considered Bishul, is it not considered Bishul? But the point is that Basar V'Chalev only exists on a biblical level, on a Deoraisa level, if there is actually some sort of medium of cooking that's transferring one to the other. That doesn't necessarily mean that you could eat milk and meat. It doesn't necessarily mean that on a rabbinic level, it's going to be matir things. We have to learn the details of the rabbinic level. But what it does chapen afkamina for, which is also very appropriate this week's parasha, the source, Lo Sevashel Gdi V'Chalev Imo, Rashi tells us in this week's parasha, it said three times, Echad le'iser bishol, Echad le'iser achila, Echad le'iser hana'ah. There are three dimensions to the iser of basar v'chalev. The Yisr Achila, the Yisr Bishul, and the Yisr Anah. In the opening Simen, in Simen Pei Zayin in Yoredeya, when you start learning about Basar V'Chalav, the Shulchan Aruch tells you, you can only have, most of the posts can pass like this, with the exception of the Bach, that if you do not have Bishul on a level of Deoraisa, it's not Basar V'Chalav on a level of Deoraisa, then you are not going to have the Yisr Anah either. So therefore, it's important to know what's a medium, what's considered Bishul, what's not considered Bishul. And that leads us to the first question. What is Bishul? So if it's so important for us, both in the realms of Shabbos, which we're going to conquer hopefully in these kitchen halachas, and in the world of Kashrus, so how do you have Bishul? What's the case of Bishul? So you'll all tell me, what do you mean? Bishul, classically, you have dealing with a stove, you have a fire, right? You have some sort of cooking on the fire, and that's Bishul, right? Okay, good, that's true, I agree with that. And as we learned earlier in the year, is that classic Bishul is with something, some sort of water, some sort of liquid medium that's causing the Bishul on top of the fire. But what we want to explore today is situations that you could have Bishul, both again, in the areas of Kashrus and in the areas of Shabbos, but you're not necessarily on the fire. Will Bishul apply? Will Bishul not apply? So there is a fascinating statement that is transformative in the world of halacha on the Gemara Maseches Shabbos on Daf Mem Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Pamachas Nichnasti Acha Rebbe LeBeis HaMerchatz. I was once following Rebbe into the bathhouse, and it was Shabbos. Ubikashti lo laniach lo pach shel shemen bambati, and I wanted to heat up some oil inside the bathtub. Va'amrli, and he said to me, the way you should do that is tol b'klisheni. You should put it into a klisheni, v'tein, and then put it in. Shema mina, this is the bottom line. Tlas. Shema mina she'emen yesh bo b'shem bishul. Okay, that's not for us right now. The Gemara learns that you can cook oil. and oil is something that you're chayav on Shabbos if you cook it. But shmamina also klisheni einu mevasha. Zok the Gemara, if you're in something called a klisheni does not create bishul. Rabosai, this is one of the most important halachos for all of the shilas, whether it's in Hilchos Shabbos or whether it's in Hilchos Kashrus, that if you're in something called a klisheni, it's not going to create bishul. What is a kli rishon? What is a klisheni? And why is there a difference? This is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos and Daf Mem Amud Beis. The Yerushalmi has a fascinating statement. The Yerushalmi says that a kli rishon and a kli sheni is aser mishum gzeira. Listen to my language right now. And the Yerushalmi explains both. Yes, good question, Mickey. And Yerushalmi explains, because kol she'ein ha'or mahalech tachtov, anything that doesn't have the fire underneath it, does not create bishul. Now the question is, what does this Yerushalmi mean? Because at the face value, if you read this Yerushalmi literally like Mickey just was bothered by, when the Yerushalmi is saying that it's only aser mishum gzeira, sounds like the Yerushalmi saying not only is klisheni not bishul on a level d'oraisa, but even what, Mickey? Even a kli rishon is only bishul on a level d'rabanan, which will have tremendous ramifications both in Hilchos Kashrus and in Hilchos Shabbos, Rabosai. Now again, we have to define what is a kli rishon and a klisheni. For now, I'm defining to you as follows. You put a water from a heat source, from a tea kettle, from an urn, into that first styrofoam cup. Lahalacha, simply, this can change according to the Chazon Ish, but we'll get to there in a second. Most poskim assume that first cup, the receptacle, is already considered a kli sheni. What is the kli rishon? That is the urn itself, or the tikkel that's on the fire. Now the Yerushalmi is saying, what happens if you have a kli rishon, that original kettle, that original pot, but I moved it from the stove onto my counter in West Hempstead? What's the halacha about that kli rishon? So the Yerushalmi is saying, if it's not on the fire, what is it? It's not mevashel on a level d'oraisa. Unbelievable. Comes along the Magen Avraham, the Rav of Am Yisrael, all the Psakim of Piskei Mishneh Berurah are based on the Sefer and Arachayim, the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says, look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi only says gzeira in the following context. Which context? If you go on in the Yerushalmi says, it's in a situation where ein hayad soledes bo. In such a scenario, kli rishon is a gzeira, and kli sheni is mutter. Rabbi, what is Ein Hayad Soledes Bo? Also, a fundamental, crucial concept in halacha. You will have a shaila, whether it's in Hilchos Kashrus in your kitchen, whether we're going with Aaron Zuckerman who wants a shir in Hilchos Kashrus, or whether or not we're going with, I want Mamish was going to say that even if you wouldn't walk in, Andy Rosenberg, we want to in Hilchos Shabbos, or that, Rabosai, this is it, where we're not making a achra on who we're giving the first shiur on. This is relevant for both areas of halacha. You need yad soledes bo. If you did not get to the source of heat of yad soledes bo, which literally means, wow, you're on fire. I'm pulling back my hands. I can't touch that guy. He's learning like a masmur. You know, okay, on fire, if your hands are not pulling back, so then, there is no shiloh whatsoever. Again, no shiloh whatsoever means you'll be able to eat it. I might tell you to rinse it. I might tell you to make sure that there's no mamushus and, you know, grease or whatever from the other item before. But if you have a milchik and fleshik shiloh, or you have a Shabbos shiloh, if it's under yad soledes bo, the general principle is, it's not chayv mishum bishul. What temperature is yad soledes bo is the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question. So Morty Aryeh is taking Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach, who proves from the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Chesem Beis that Yad Seletis Bo is the lowest level, is on the level of 112. Right? However, there are other poskim that go up to what, Rabosai? Already much higher. And 160, 170, some poskim say, you have a real tremendous range. So what does that leave us halacha l'maisa? So how do we paskin the shayla if there are poskim in akatsa l'akatsa? If Rav Moshe has a much higher Yad Soledis than Rav Shlomo Zalman, what does that mean l'maisa?
Why would we want to have like a much higher one? It's pretty simple. Like if your hand will like...
No. It's a complicated shayla.
Dira Bana, so we go to Kula.
There are different Gemaras that are mashed with different
things. Dira Bana, so we go to Kula?
What? What?
As in, you mean no. There's different definitions of Yad Seletis Bo?
Yeah.
Not everyone
right.
agrees that it's
right.
when you have
right.
to pull
right.
your
right. hand. Right, right, right. What are the factors? Is it conscious? Is it not? There are a lot of different factors that go into it. But Lamaisa, what we need to take away right now, Rabosai, is that's Machlokes that poskim. Now, what that's relevant for is that you have to be Machmir in both directions. What do I mean Machmir in both directions? Chumra over here would mean anything already in the realm of 112, 113 degrees Fahrenheit is already what? Is already a Shiloh of Bishul. You better stay away from that. You better not cook to that temperature. When could Rav Moshe's Tzad be a Chumra, Rabosai? When could the higher Yad Seletis be a Chumra? Well, let's say the Halacha requires me for something to be Bishuled in order for me to have a Kula about it. What's one area that you're going to need something? I'll change the language a little bit and you'll all get it. Mavushal.
Yayin.
If I want my goy to be able to touch my wine, remember, I went away with my in-laws for Pesach, and my father-in-law brought this like fancy bottle of wine. I'm like, it's not a good idea, and lo and behold, geisha waiter took it, moved it around, and then set in the garbage. That's it. We're not touching that. Fine. Next year Pesach. Same thing. I said, it's going to happen again. So my father-in-law said to me, no, I'm going to get the waiter, and I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him, and he's going to tell his staff, don't touch the bottle of wine. Watch this. So I said, okay. So he does. He calls over the head waiter, and he says, listen to the head waiter. He says, none of the waiters can carry around this bottle. This is just for our table, this and that, and make sure you tell your whole staff. So he comes over to the table, he calls over his staff, and he picks up the bottle, and he says, guys, this bottle, you're not allowed to carry around. Turns to my father-in-law, I said, told you so. Rabbi Isai, it has to be Mavushal. What? It has to be Mavushal. By the plan was to drink it. It wasn't for the decor. The Rabosai, it has to be Mavushal. It has to be Mavushal. So therefore, you're going to also need the extreme on the other side. What is considered Mavushal? Well, I got to be Machmir. What is the highest level of Bishul to be considered Mavushal? But we're not talking about Stamien and Rabosai. Maybe we'll get a shear on this in the kashas in the kitchen later on in the semester, although we don't have so many shear. I don't know how we're going to cover everything. Whoa. So let me get back to the scribe. Thanks. Ezra's putting me back into what we're talking about. Zoktu Magen Avron. This Yerushalmi is not such a chiddush, Dr. Morgan Avram. The Yerushalmi is telling us that the whole thing is Xerah D'Rabbanan because it was Ein Yad Seletis Bo. It was not a real bishul on Lav D'Oraisa. Therefore, says the Morgan Avram, we understand beautifully why the Yerushalmi, even by a Kliri Shon, even by something that was once on the fire, the pot that was originally on the fire cooking, is only bishul Mishum D'Rabbanan. Only a bishul because of Xerah. Why, Rabosai, what does the Morgan Avram says? Because it's not the Yad Seletis Bo. That is the psak of the Magen Avraham. Rabosai, if the Magen Avraham is correct, you have a tremendous chumrah coming out of it as well. What's the tremendous chumrah, Ezra? If you have a kli rishon, if I tell you right before, I made this whole big, large statement, that if something is not Yad Seletis Bo, you don't have to be so concerned about the issue of bishul. Is that 100% correct? maybe on a level of d'oraisa, but says the Magen Avraham, on the level of the Rabbanan, where do I have to be concerned about it? If it's a Kli Rishon. Because the Yerushalmi says, a Kli Rishon, that's Ein Yatzo Lettuce Bow, there's a Gzeira of Mishum Bishul. So now, according to the Magen Avraham's interpretation of this Yerushalmi, of the Kli Rishon that's off the fire, now you just created a rabbinic prohibition that there is a rabbinic issue of Bishul on something that is not even 110, 112 degrees. Not even Yatzo Lettuce Bow. That's a tremendous chumrah. But Rabbi Isai, the Magen Avraham, is not the only interpretation on this Yerushalmi.
Can you explain the chumrah one more time, please?
Again, the Yerushalmi said like this, right? Let's get down the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says there's a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Again, we're trying to understand the fundamental difference between a Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni and how that affects us Lamaisa. So the Yerushalmi says a Kli Rishon that's not on the fire and a Kli Sheni is different. One is Usser and one is Mutter, but the Isser is a Gzeira, it's only the Rabbanan, right? So says the Yerushalmi that it's talking about a case, says the Magen Avraham, that's Ein Hayad So Lettuce Bow. That it didn't reach the temperature of what you're going to pull back your hand, right? So comes along the Magen Avraham and still explains the Yerushalmi, but if it's a Kli Rishon, not a Kli Sheni, on a rabbinic level, even though it didn't reach the level of Yatzo Lettuce Bow, it's still rabbinically Isser, Usser. So therefore, we just created a new prohibition that there is some restriction even if something did not reach the measurement of Yatzo Lettuce Bow, as long as it's in that original receptacle that was once cooking on the fire, even though it's not cooking on the fire right now. So the Magen Avraham is going to be a chumrah that there is Isurim and prohibitions even if you didn't reach the temperature of Yatzo Lettuce Bow. But Rabbi Isai, not in Hilcha Shabbos, but in Yeridaya, Rabbi Isai, I'm telling you, there's tremendous overlap in this area between Kashrus and Shabbos. In Simen Kufhei, in Yeridaya, in Hilchos Taruvis, you find all the sources of what is Bishul in the world of Yeridaya. So the Shach, in Sif Katan He, in Simen Kufhei, totally disagrees with this Magen Avraham, and he says he missed the boat on the Yerushalmi. And we'll see how much ramifications this has, la'alach. Says the Shach, the Yerushalmi that said that Bishul in a Kli Rishon is only midrabanan was not talking about a scenario that it's Ein Hayad So Lettuce Bow like the Magen Avraham explained. But rather, you switch one letter, or two letters. Instead of reading it Ein Hayad So Lettuce Bow, it's rather Ein Hayad Sholettes Bow. Someone translate to me the term sholetes. What does it mean to be a sholet?
To rule over,
right? What is something that I can't be sholet my hand on? What is it, mashma? Why can't I be sholet my hand on something?
It's too hot.
So the exact reverse of what the Magen Avraham understood in the Yerushalmi, this thing is burning, is sizzling. It's ein hayad sholetes bo. And still, what does the Yerushalmi say? Instead of Ein Hayad Soletis, it's Ein Hayad Sholetis. I can't rule my hand over there. I can't put my hand onto the pot. It's so hot.
And that's a Derabonin.
So, and still, Afal Bichin Zok Miki, the Shach's learning that the Yerushalmi, you're not going to change the words of the Yerushalmi. What? It's burning hot. It's Yad Soletis Bow. I can't even put my hand on there. That thing's burning. That thing's on fire. And still, the Yerushalmi says what? A Kli Rishon? That's off the fire, that doesn't have fire going underneath it, is what? Is only Asr Mishum Zera, the Rabbana. Comes along the Shach and says, Yerushalmi Shiva, is that if you don't have fire, if you're a pot that's not mamish on the fire, then what, Rabosai? You will never have a Shaila of Bishul Midoraisa. Whether it's Batsar V'Cholav, it won't be Asar V'Anah, you'll never get into the category of Bishul, you'll never be Mechal Shabbos on a level of the Oraisa, even if you're in a Kli Rishon. Even if you're in a pot of soup that was burning on the fire that got hot from the fire itself. If it's not Mechal Chaor Tachtav right now, garnish on a level of the Oraisa. Now, Lamaisa, we have a few questions from this Yerushalmi. Number one, do we Paskin like this Yerushalmi? Number two, But on a level of derabbanan, it's still going to be restriction. But Rabbo say we need to define bishul on a level of deraisa before we get to practical halachas. Yeah, Isaac.
I was going to say, isn't it clear that we follow this? Isn't that the reason why we take the chalon pot out of the krakpot before you are allowed to take chalon in front of it?
We're not being mevashal anything.
Why? It's still...
It's already cooked.
All right. Yeah. Otherwise, you can't even have it.
Rabosai.
What shach is this? What's
you can't put it back.
Shach sifkon hay.
You can take chalon right out of the chalon pot, though, if it's still in the thing.
We're going to get to it. Rabosai, we have to get. To get to the chalon pot, there's so many concepts that I haven't yet introduced you. This is just the basics here. We're getting to the chalon pot. We're going to have to help us chalon, hopefully. Rabosai, we got to get to all this, but I need some more days. You know what I'm saying? We might have to go till, like, next July. Okay, so Rabosai. Yeah, you can say that. You'll be here.
I'll be forever.
Chevra. So wait, now we have to know, do we paskalate the shaf? Do we not paskalate the shaf? The kitzur, Rabosai. The Gemara tells us on daf Lamed Ches Amabez. The Gemara talks about an egg. And I want to put the egg next to something that was hot. You can't put the egg next to something that's hot that was already heated up, even if it's off the fire. And the Gemara says, Ibailuhu Gilgomai. So the Gemara says, and if I rolled it next to the thing that's hot, and the egg became hot, what? Says the Gemara, Chayev Chatos. Now Rabosa, let's analyze what's going on here. You have something that's off the fire, that's now a receptacle and causing something else to become hot, and the Gemara in the Talmud Bavli said, you're Chayev Chatos. What does that sound like?
Not like the
Yerushalmi. Sounds like you could be Chayev Bishul Deoraisa even if you don't have fire itself.
Why, can't that go with the Magen Avraham in the Yerushalmi?
No.
Why?
It's it can go in the room. Right. There are two separate questions. Do we pass on like the Shach's version of the Yerushalmi?
Right.
Now, the Gemara also says, a Gemara we're going to have to analyze, which is the key Gemara in terms of microwaves. Rabosai, before we get to microwaves, you're going to have a lot of questions about microwaves. Microwaves has a lot of different ramifications, both in Hilchos Bishul Akum, in Hilchos Bishul on Shabbos, and in Hilchos Bishul Basar V'Chalav. What is the nature of a microwave? So the Gemara says as follows. The Kitzer. We're not talking about microwaves yet. I have a lot more to tell you in terms of Paskin about microwave, but I'm just going to introduce to you the first source. The Gemara on Lamed Tes Amid Aleph introduces to us a Machlokes Tanoim. That Machlokes Tanoim is as follows. The Gemara tells us there is no debate that if you take something outside of your house and cook it in the sun, straight up through the sun rays, in the sunlight, on the beach, in Boca Raton, Florida, outside where it's sunny, or it used to be sunny, it's not sunny anymore. So the Gemara says, we're getting all the sun now. So the Gemara says, there is no Isser Bishul on Shabbos. Bishul Bechama, get this guys, is Mutter. It's not even Osir Midrabbon. Now, comes along the Gemara and says, what about Bishul Betoldo Sacham? What's a toldos hachama? What's a toldos hachama, Rabosai? It's not in the sun. It's not in the sun. It's something that was heated up by the sun. It's a tolda of the chama. It received. It's yichus from the sun. It's a tolda. It's one of the toldos. The obvious and the toldos. So the Gemara says, Bishul betoldos hachama is aser midrabon. Ribbono shel olam. I have laundry that's heating up on it's getting beaten on in the sun, and then I have something that now I can put next to it, and now it will cook up something else. Okay? Something that received energy from the sun. From the sun. Or you want more practical, but I'm not paskening right now, a dud shemesh. But in the Gemara was talking. The Gemara wasn't talking about the shemesh,
the water heater,
the sunlight, the sunlight heater for
hot water.
The dud to put on the dud in Eretz Yisrael. You want another type?
No, I want to know what that dud shemesh. What is it?
It's a solar. It's solar heating system for your hot water.
It's a thing of water, a tank of water.
So Rabbi Isai. So you have something that retained the heat from the sun, and now that item is now heating up my egg or my food on Shabbos. The Gemara says that's aser midrabbanan. Rabbi Nishlam, I don't understand. If Bishul B'chama is mutter, so then one stage removed is going to be aser midrabbanan, Moshe, you should not accept this. This Gemara should not be correct. Zok the Gemara, yes. And we pass in la'alacha like the Deya that says Bishul B'told us B'chama is aser midrabbanan. Why? Yeah, so that's the machlokes tanoim. By Bishul B'told us B'chama. Okay? Whether or not Bishul B'told us B'chama is aser midrabbanan or not. Bishul B'chama, everyone agrees, is mutter. Bishul B'told us B'chama is a machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? Amar Rav Nachman b'chama d'chule amlo pligi d'shari. In the straight up sun, everyone agrees it's mutter, zok the Gemara. Ki lo pligi d'shari betolos aor, ki pligi betolos aor kule amlo pligi d'oser. Ki pligi betolos achama. Mar sever gozrina tolos achama otu tolos aor, mar sever lo gozrina. Dr. Gemara, I'll explain to you the Machlokes Tanoim why a secondary sunlight source has the ability to become Usr or not if the Chama itself is Mutter. Says the Gemara, one of the Deyas, and that's the way we Paskin, says, you make a Gzeir Midirabonon that people will confuse Toldos HaChama with Toldos HaOr. What's Toldos HaOr? Something that is a Tolda, something that became
like a pot.
A pot, something became hot from what?
Fire.
And that, says the Gemara, is what we're concerned that people are going to now start cooking with. And therefore, we made a gzeirah d'rabbanan of a receptacle, of a tolda, from the chama, otu, a tolda sa'or.
A tolda sa'or is...
One second, Mickey. 1 second, what are you asking right now? Tolda sa'or, what's the nature of a tolda sa'or? Is that the raisa d'rabbanan? It is. That's exactly what I'm trying to prove right now. The Gemara is telling us you're making a gzeira that the item that was heating in the sun now, midrabanan, cook something else, even though it's talking about sunlight, and sunlight itself, it was straight up beating in the sun, it would have been mutter. What's the reason we asked the midrabanan? Because we don't want people to confuse it on something like a pot that was heated up from the fire itself. What's the mashmos of the Gemara? That the item that was heating up from the fire itself, even though it's not on the fire anymore, and now you're going to cook it, the Gemara would hold is also what?
Doraisa.
Rabboisai, and not like the Yerushalmi. Comes along the Ran in Masechah Shabbos, comes along the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shun Yud Ches, Sif Tes, Paskins La'alocha, that you are chayav midoraisa if you're mavashil in a kli rishon, even if it's not on the fire.
What shulchan aruch is that?
Shin yud ches tes.
That doesn't really make that much sense because, right?
To you?
Me. Because when, let's say you were to take out the tolda from the equation here, right? If you're cooking something with fire,
the tolda is the whole equation.
But what I'm trying to say is, you can understand that, how can you compare the two? If the original source of the bishul, in this case, with the sun is mutter and the fire would be usr also.
If you were cooking in the sun.
If you were to cook soup, let's say.
In the sun. Mi
mutter. Mutter.
Right.
But if you were to cook soup on a fire, that's usr.
Right.
So, how can you compare the two?
No. The Gemara is not comparing the two. The Gemara is saying that
it's comparing
the Gemara. Rabbanan said we have told us. You're right. There is a difference between the two, but people are going to confuse like different receptacles, and they're not going to think like Moshe Lipschitz said.
Why would they confuse?
Because I'll tell you why. What happens? One, a person's going to take the item that was heat, that was hot. Okay. He's going to have two items that were hot. Okay. Now he's going to bring it into his kitchen. No one's gonna remember and realize, says Chazal, that one was a heated source from the sun and one was a heat source from the fire. At the end of the day, they're just going to have two heat sources. And I'm going to be invited over to your house for lunch, and I'm going to see, oh, look at this. He's cooking from a receptacle. And I'm not going to think, oh, it's only because I wasn't over when I saw that you were heating it in the sun. So I'm going to learn from there. I'm going to derive the halacha is, oh, apparently as long as it's secondary, as long as it's not on the fire, it's going to be mutter. That Chazal saw was going to be a tremendous mitzvah, and therefore they answered all told.
And that's considered, that told is considered a clearishma or a peshi?
That told the one that was heating on the fire is clearishma.
Clearishma.
Because it never transferred to that second kli. Rabosai. So la halacha. Even if you have a kli rishon, what is the definition of kli rishon? Again, let's get this down. This is the most important halacha. You have to know. A kli rishon is an entity that was in that original pot that was being cooked on the fire. Now, I removed it off the fire. I didn't transfer the contents to put it into another kli. It still has a shame kli rishon. It never got transferred its contents, right? So now, we have a shaila between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. What is the nature of Bishul within that kli rishon that's now off the fire? Zok the Bavli, zok the Ran against the Yerushalmi? We paskin lalocha that it's chayav chatas, that it could be a deoraisa of Bishul, and therefore the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni is not going to be totally on Eish, unlike the Yerushalmi. Rabosai, I just want to ask one more question. I'll get to you in a second, Ezra. What about the chumrah of the Magen Avraham? Yeah, well, Ezra, what?
Okay, so... Meaning that
La halacha fire does not make a difference.
Unless you take the urn off the fire.
Your kettle off the fire.
Yeah, take the kettle
Can't
off the
take
fire.
An urn off a fire. No, an urn is connected to.
Unless you take the kettle off the fire.
Yeah.
Then how are you going to be chayav bishul?
If I now put something into that pot or into that kettle, chayav bishul d'oraisa.
Why? You said it one time. Why do they hold that you're chayav?
Because we hold that fire doesn't make a difference. We hold against Yerushalmi. We hold that any time you're in a kli rishon, that's bishul min haTorah. Rabosai, that's going to affect kashrus, that's going to affect Shabbos. No matter what area of halacha you need that you violate with a halacha of bishul, we're defining according to the Bavli that if something was once cooking on the fire in the original kli, that is bishul. Even if it's now no longer on the fire, we don't accept the Yerushalm. Yeah.
We said last semester that you were supposed to
say Yichud. Oh, in the bus of a cholov, yeah. I was trying to figure out what you were connecting to, yeah.
No, that
you were cooking a girl,
that,
yeah.
Well. You're supposed to like separate your chola and your salad. Is this the same?
Zook. You're three steps ahead to me. I hope I have time to get to that today. We're getting to there. That's important within cliche. We didn't get to that. You're three steps ahead. Rabosai, give me 1 second. Let me just finish. Rabosai. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, Rabosai, that all I just proved to you was that the Bavli does not accept the Yerushalmi. So if you want to go in the Shach's approach, right? If you want to go in the Shach's approach, the answer is that Yerushalmi is not so relevant la'alacha within our framework of halacha. What about the Magen Avraham? As Mickey pointed out correctly before, we didn't necessarily disprove the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham had a totally different analysis in the Yerushalmi. He was talking about that the Yerushalmi was not Yad Soledes Bo Bechlal. It was a new Gzeirah D'Rabbanan that you could sometimes violate Bishul even if you don't reach the level of 113 degrees, 110 degrees, whatever Yad Soledes Bo is, right? As long as it was in a Kriyei Rishon. So now we have to ask ourselves, okay, we disproved the Yerushalmi according to the Shach's interpretation. What about according to the Magen Avraham's interpretation? Comes along the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Yud Ches on that Se'if that I quoted before, and the Mishnah Berurah in the Sha'arat Tzion quotes and says, we do not accept the Magen Avraham's approach. And therefore, this creates a kula. Therefore, listen up carefully. Even if you have, again, we said before, the Magen Avraham was a tremendous chumrah. Even if you have a kli rishon that was once on the fire, that the Magen Avraham interpreted the Yerushalmi to say, even if it's under Yad Soledes, under 110 degrees, 113 degrees, but it's Lamaisa was in that original receptacle, Gzeir D'Rabbanan, it's awesome for you to cook in that kli, even if it's not Yad Soledes Bo. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, we do not accept that approach. So therefore, what does that translate to mean Lamaisa? If it's under Yad Soledes Bo, even if it's in a kli rishon, Rabosai? It's mutter. Yatzel lettuce is the key question. Every Rav that will call, you will call and ask, whether it's in the world of kashrus, and you're not going to call in terms of the world of Shabbos because there's no phones available, but the first question they'll ask for is how hot it was. Is there an issue of Yatzel lettuce bowl? Was there? If it's not a Yatzel lettuce bowl, even if you are in a Kli Rishon because we don't accept this Magen Avraham, therefore it's mutter. Yeah, stop.
A bathhouse is clearly under Yatzel lettuce bowl, right?
No.
Why? Because they're bathing in it.
Above Yatzel
lettuce bowl. Chayav
chatas.
I'll stone you.
But what I don't say is that you put it in a Kli Sheni now, right?
Whoa, yeah.
It's still hot.
Still hot.
We're not...
Ethan Zanger is asking a fundamental question. Rabosai, if we're dropping the Yerushalmi, if we're not accepting the Yerushalmi, and we're saying it's not going to be based on fire or not fire, and that's not the fundamental distinction, so what is the distinction? Frecht Ethan Zanger of Bam Kasha. If Kli Sheni, it's in a separate, the contents were removed from the first receptacle into a second receptacle, right? Into that first cup, right? So now it's no longer in that first pot that was cooking on the fire. Upper Lamaise, that thing is smoking hot.
Not as hot.
It could be as hot.
Okay.
And still, the Chazal tell us, Kli Sheni in a Mavasha. Chazal don't say klisheni ain't a mavashal ki ain't a yatzel lettuce bowl. Chazal say klisheni ain't a mavashal zeu. Frecht toisis ashayle. This toisis is called Ethan Zanger's toisis. On the Gemara we started off with on daf mem of a base. Ushma mino dibra maskul ushma mino. Listen to this, Ethan. You're gonna shep nachas. Tema, when Tosis starts with a tema, that should get into your gut. This is a bam kasha. Maishna kli sheni mikli rishon. So I would answer Tosis, what do you mean maishna kli sheni mikli rishon? Kli rishon is agabia ish is deraisa, but anything the iyad so let us suppose up Tosis afilu kli sheni nami. Because if it's hot, if it's very piping hot, above the degree of Yatzel lettuce bowl, the heat that can create cooking. So even if it's in a separate second receptacle, it should create bishul because it meets the criteria of the temperature that could create bishul. The ein Yatzel lettuce bowl, and if it's not Yatzel lettuce bowl, what does Taisa say? What does Taisa say, Rabosai? Afilu, afilu klirisho nami is what? Ein boshim bishum bishul is mutter. Against who, Rabosai? The Magen Avraham, right? Tosis is obviously assuming you need Yatzel lettuce bowl to get off the ground. So then, what's the difference? Asked Tosis. I don't understand. What's the underlying theme of the shir that there's a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Says Tosos, and this is the most fundamental Tosos for all of these shilas. Yesh Lomer, do not forget this Tosos. Or both say, guarantee this will be on your bechina. Yesh Lomer. Lefi shekli rishon, mitoch sha'amad ala or. Listen to this, Lifshitz. Dofanosav cham, umachzik chomo, zman meruba. Ulekach nosin boshir, the kolzman shayatzel lettuce bo asr. Aval klishen, af al gav diyatzel lettuce bo, mutter, why? She'ein dofanosav Chamin, v'holeich umiskaper. Anyone hop what the answer is? Yeah. Exactly what Moshe said before. It's the walls. Says Tosfos, you don't have the full picture. So Tosfos, and I'm adding an element over here that the Gemara doesn't tell you. The distinction between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni is that a Kli Rishon that was once on the fire, even if it's now off the fire, and we prove that that could create Bishol Midoraisa without the fire going underneath it against the Yerushalmi, but there is something that transformed in that Kli because it was once on the fire, that the heat is retained, and it's called Dofanosav Mechamamos. The walls of the Kli, I'm sorry for spitting all over you, Max Harvey, the walls of the Kli add heat. And therefore, Yatzel lettuce bowl makes a difference. However, Says Tosos, where you don't have that second element, where you don't have the dphonos of mechamamos, but rather, on the contrary, you have cooling off walls. You have a totally non-heated element of the walls, because the walls of the second kli of the kli sheni were never on the fire. So therefore, it's not dphonos of mechamamos, but rather dphonos of mikararos. Even if it reaches Yad Soledispo, even if it reaches Yad Soledispo, 120, 130, you will not have an Isser Bishel, no matter what the temperature is, and I leave that with a parenthesis. Not entirely. Even if it's above Yad Soledispo, Tosfos is saying, the question of the day is there a temperature that potentially, even in a kli sheni, is so high, what I would call yad nichvespo, scalding hot, that even in a kli sheni, you could ignore the fact that the walls are not hot, but since the water is so hot, potentially, that could create bishul d'oraisa. Rabosai, I'm going to go there right now, and with this I'm going to close. Tosos just drew us the distinction between a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Right? Tosos says, fundamentally, a kli rishon, if it's yad soledispo, has another element to it, the fact that the walls retain the heat from the fire that was underneath it, and therefore, kli rishon, even off the fire, could create bishul. Kli sheni, since the walls are not hot, because it was contents that were moved into a pot that was never on the fire, even if it's yad soledispo, is not going to create bishul. So therefore, Tosfos is adding another element to the equation, that the walls of the pot are a major factor in the bishul process, and therefore, if it's hot walls versus cooled walls, it's going to create a tremendous distinction, and that's the source for kli sheni and mevashel. Now, my question that I leave off comes along the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos, quoting from the Chaye Adam. The Chaye Adam quotes from the Yerushalmi as follows. The Yerushalmi says, yeah.
Where is it?
Yerushalmi, the Chaye Adam quotes from the Yerushalmi as follows. If you have an item that was in a kli sheni, but it's not only yad soledispo, but it's yad nichvespo, it's a higher temperature than yad soledis, it's mamish scalding hot, very, very high, says the Yerushalmi, that will have ramifications in the world of Meiser. Rabbi, what are you messing up in here? Meiser, why are we talking about Meiser over here? What's going on? Says the Yerushalmi, there's halacha. I am no longer allowed to eat from the tevel, ba'achilas arai, once there was a kvias to the Meiser, once I'm using it as a suda, I'm not just snacking on the food anymore. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says, the Mishnah says, one of the ways to be koveya, I'm explaining in a second, one of the ways to koveya and be considered eating something in a chashavdika way, that I'm no longer snacking from the meiser, and therefore from the tevel, and therefore I need to be mafresh trumas meisers, because I'm now actually using it as a real bona fide suda. One of the ways to clarify whether or not a person is really eating as a suda is bishul. When I cook something, so that's not a snack. That's not just taking off something off the tree and just nibbling on it. That's already something I do for a kviyas dikasuda, and that's going to need hafrashas meiser in order for me to eat from it. Says the Yerushalmi, if it's in a kli sheni, but it's so hot that it's yad nichvesbo, that's considered a bishul. In the world of meiser, that I'm now going to have to be mafresh before I snack at that. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos and quotes this Chaye Adam, that now, says the Chaye Adam, is going to carry over from the world of Meiser and is going to affect us even in the world of Shabbos. There will be an exception to the rule of kli sheni and of mevashel, according to the Chaye Adam, based on this Yerushalmi, that only if it reached Yad Soledispo, the lower level temperature, then you have a distinction between kli rishon and kli sheni. However, if I have such a high temperature that it's scalding hot, it's piping hot, comes along the Mishnah Berurah and quotes the Chaye Adam and says, even in a kli sheni, you're going to have bishul d'oraisa.
So therefore, everything that we're distinguishing according to the Mishnah Berurah, Chazanish is not as convinced that we should paskin la halacha like this Chaya Adam. Maybe the halachos of Meiser don't necessarily translate and carry over to the world laws of Bishol and Hilchos Shabbos. But Rabbo said this potentially could have ramifications in Hilchos Kashrus as well. Can I ever have Bishol deoraisa in a kli sheni against the Gemara? Says the Chaya Adam, says the Mishnah Berurah, yes, if it's extremely hot. But outside of that scenario, we go with the Mahalach of Tosus with the Gemara, that kli sheni is that mevashal on a level of deoraisa. Now, I'm going to want Azuk, I just want to get to the morning seder. I want to say one thing. Everything we've been assuming up until now, Rabosai, is that a kli sheni is which cup? Take the case of the urn. I'm filling up a cup of hot water from the urn. Okay? What is the kli sheni?
The first cup.
Yeah. The first cup. Comes along the Chazon Ish and has a tremendous, tremendous chumrah. Comes along the Chazon Ish and says, not so fast. Kli sheni is only when the first kli was something that could be departed from the heat source. But if the kli sheni is something that's receiving water from something that was never disconnected from the heat source, comes along the Chazon Ish with a tremendous chumrah and says, you don't got yourself a kli sheni over there. Guess what that first teacup is? That first styrofoam cup underneath the hot water on is still considered kli rishon. The difference is that the first one is a kli rishon agabe aish. The second one is a kli rishon shelo agabe aish, because you never had a matzav of the kli rishon leaving the fire. If that would be the case, Rabbi Yisai, according to the Chazon Ish, all of my conclusions from this year now just moved over one more cup. That as once we paskin la halacha, that there's bishul in a kli rishon shelo al gabe aish, that's not running on the fire, that even applies to what? That original cup. Raboisai, it doesn't only apply to that. Let's leave the world of Shabbos right now, because we're not turning on higher hat water tap from our sink on Shabbos, I hope. And that's what you guys should all be machmer, not to turn on your hot water, although some shuls have the minhag not to, based on certain psukim. I'm telling you right now that you should not turn on your hot water on Shabbos.
Is that a thing too?
I'll fill in the details later. You want to know if people actually do it?
From the sink.
Trust me. Still apartment building.
I don't turn it on,
There's a thought to do it.
Yes.
No.
Well, we'll fill in the details later. It's not for now.
Israel is different.
I'll fill into the details now. Listen. Israel is different as the Dud Shemesh is when we get to microwaves. We'll get to there. What am I talking about now?
Chazanish, please.
Oh.
Shuls.
Rabbi Yisai, give me another case of water. I already gave it away. Water that's not disconnected from the heat source.
Chicken soup.
Rain. No, hot water.
I just told you. What did I tell you about?
Hot water.
Sink. That the furnace is going, and you're turning on the water. According to the Chazon Ish, if I have a shayla in my sink of treif, of milchiks and fleshiks that are going on with hot water going on, and now it fills up into the tub, what's the sink considered according to the Chazon Ish? A kli rishon. That's no longer a kli sheni. Raboisai, this machloikes will have ramifications, la locha, of whether or not I have treif midoraisa in my sink. According to the Chazon Ish, the sink will be a kli rishon. This is why, one of the reasons, you'll have people, including myself, I try to be machmir for, because it's so easy to be machmir for this Chazon Ish. Instead of using the first cup of tea as my kli sheni, I'll just pour it an extra time. Right? We'll have to learn the details. We're both saying, no one should run away with psak, because you'll see, although midoraisa kli sheni ain't a mevashel, there are tremendous limitations on that, and no one can cook most items in a kli sheni. But in terms of the fundamental difference, you have to understand, you're out of deoraisa territory. Midrabanan, they made chumras on kli sheni, and therefore the practical halacha is going to change in Mirtz Hashem in the next year. But Rabosai, according to the Chazon Ish, everything is one step removed, both in terms of the first cup, and in terms of what? In terms of the sink. So now any shiloh that you're going to have in terms of kashrus in the sink, not only in terms of making tea on Shabbos, not only in terms of making coffee, in terms of how many cups do I need on a level of deoraisa, will the Chazon Ish debate all the other poskim because of his chiddush about disconnecting from the heat source. Every shiloh that's going to happen in the sink, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is, well, according to the Chazon Ish, this is a kli rishon, according to everyone else, this is a kli sheni. This is, I'm delaying it. What is the ramifications of la'alacha on a kli sheni outside of the world of Shabbos to the world of kashrus? Can one be machmir more than Shabbos that kashrus might be more severe? So this is a debate between the Ramah and the Shach in Simen Kuf Hei in Yeridea. The Ramah, the Ashkenazic practice, is parallel to everything that we've been presenting. Just like Kli Sheni does not create Bishul in the world of Shabbos, Kli Sheni will not cause you kashrus issues, and as long as you can present to the Rav that everything that happened in my kitchen was all in a Kli Sheni and not in a Kli Rishon, it's not treif, it's not Basar V'Cholav, don't worry about it, you had no Bishul. However, and this is a big however, comes along the Shach and the Taz commenting on this Ramah, that although I agree, like the Gemara says, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel, but when it comes to Hilchos Kashrus, you're not only concerned about whether or not things were cooking. That might be relevant in terms of Sanhedrin Daf Dalet, whether or not you can sell it. Is there an Isser Hanah for Basar V'Cholov? But I also have to be worried about Blios. What's a Blia? A Blia is an absorption. The fact that Treif might have not cooked into my sink, or cooked into the other item, but maybe it absorbed some taste into the other item, and comes along some Rishonim, the Ramban, and other Rishonim, that say, and the Shach Nataz quoted this from the Marshal, that maybe, for the world of Blios, the world of Kashrus, Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel, that's all true, everything we said up until now is correct. It's Eino Mevashel, it's not going to be Basar V'Chol of Doraisa, Klapi the Isser Anah, but, and you weren't over the Yisr Bishul, but what do you have, Rabosai? You might still have treif on your hands. You might still have an absorption. You might still have blios. Not necessarily does everything that's mevashel create the criteria for blios. Maybe I can have blios, although I didn't have Bishul. Maybe a kli can absorb treif, even though the treif was actually not cooking in the pot. And therefore, one would have to argue, according to the Shach and Taz, that even in a Kli Sheni, one should be Machmir. And Lepsak L'Alacha, I'm going to tell you as follows. A Rav will say as follows. Bottom line, the Ramah is Mekel on the Shaila. That whatever you say in Shabbos, that Kli Sheni is in Mevashel, that's going to affect the world of Kashrus. Even Klape, the absorptions, even Klape, whether or not the Kli and the vessel, the pot, became Treif. Kli Sheni in Mevashel, and that affects Blios as well. But because the Shach and the Taz say that a person should be machmir, so therefore Rabbanim will say as follows. If it's very easy to kasher, if it's not hard to kasher, and it's very easy to take care of this, so then one can be one should be machmir, to be choshish for those opinions. If it's a very difficult situation, it's a hefsid merubah, so Rabbanim will usually take the Ramah into account, and therefore, hopefully with other sniff and lahakil, therefore they will carry over based on the fundamental principle of our shir, that at the end of the day, it's a kli sheni, and kli sheni in a mevashel. In terms of the other shaila of whether or not we accept the Chazon Ish, or the other opinions on how to define what's the kli sheni, what's the kli rishon, majority of the poskim do not go with the Chazon Ish's chumrah. They don't find sources for where the Chazon Ish got it from, and therefore they hold that even the first cup is what? Is considered a kli sheni. Rabbi Isai, here Ezra. Rabbi Isai, we have a gevaldik sugya today. Everyone get cracking. Start with the Taisus and Bava Kama and